Well, it's nice to be here, and nice to see a lot of you guys. I haven't seen for a long time. Time goes by quicker and quicker and quicker. Is that just me, or anybody else feel that way? Yeah. Truth, I told the guys, I said, look, it's going to be Thanksgiving here in a few weeks. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's almost Thanksgiving again, you know. But time seems to be speeded up right now, and I remember many years ago, being in Gresham, I got saved in the U.S. Air Force, called to the ministry, and came back to America, went to a church in Gresham where there was a pastor called Jerry Cook, a tremendous man of God. And I remember him saying, he's now passed on, but he said, you know, he said, I believe the days are coming where the earth will still spin on its axis every 24 hours. And the earth will go around the sun every 365.24 days. But he said, I believe the whole thing is going to be speeded up. Because unless the days are shortened, even the elect will be deceived. And these are days of great deception. Good night. And I just want to just say this real quick. I feel that we're in a different dispensation. And I think things have changed. You know, the 12 major constellations, of course, the astrologers hijacked that whole thing, but they were originally the names of Jacob. And for the first 2,500 years of man, the word of God was written in the heavens. And the whole salvation experience was written in the heavens. And Jesus was born at the beginning of the Piscean Age. Now, I'm using the astrology name just so you guys know what I'm talking about, but don't take me wrong. I'm not into astrology. I haven't backslid or anything. You know, it's... You've got to be careful, don't you? Yeah. So, and that was depicted by two fish. One fish was vertical and one fish was horizontal, and they were connected together by a scarlet thread. And what it represents is the Jews and the Gentiles being made one into this through the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it also represented the church age, or a time of evangelism that really started on the day of Pentecost, when the church was empowered from on high. And yet we're coming into a time now, of course, the age of Aquarius. Again, I'm not backsliding. Okay. The age of Aquarius began the end of 2012, and it was an interesting time, because Aquarius was always pictured with an urn of water coming out of it. And it just so happened that year, the Jewish New Year that happened just previous to that few months, depicted an urn with water coming out as well. And so we've entered into this new dispensation, if you like, and it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people say, oh, great, you know. But how many people know that God doesn't work the way we think He works? Yeah, thank God indeed. Because I had it all planned out. You know, I figured I had this whole thing down. I got it, you know, I've actually been a bit wrong. Fancy that, you know. It didn't quite happen the way I expected. But God began to speak to me early this year. And He said, as I began to pray about this year, He said, Chris, you've entered into a new dispensation. It's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. He said, but you've got to understand what it is. I'm going to pour out my Spirit. But when I pour out my Spirit, you can say, tra-la-la, tra-la-la. But it's not like that. As I pour out my Spirit, it's a different dispensation. Because you're going to go through times of difficulty, adversity, setbacks, sufferings, persecution. That will probably increase, but He said, I'm separating my sheep from my goats. I'm separating the tares from the wheat. He said, but if you'll draw close to me, I will cover you, and I will bless you, and I'll watch over you, and I'll make provision for you and for my people. This is the time we're in. During the next 3 days, I'm going to be sharing along these lines of how the Lord began to speak to me as I prayed in the mornings, and he began to unfold something that to me has been life-changing. It shows us who we really are and who God really is. I had a vision a little while ago as well, and if I could share that real quick, which I don't do anything quickly. Takes me half an hour to tell my name normally, but I had this vision a little while ago, and I'll tell you when it was. When they passed this legislation legalizing homosexual marriages, when that happened, I felt a shift in the spiritual realm, a quake. I felt that. Now, I don't know if anyone else did, maybe, you know, maybe I wasn't feeling good. I don't know. But I think I felt pretty good that day. But I felt something happen in the spiritual realm. And I had a picture of America. And I saw this mist covering the nation. Some places were thicker than others, but it was a mist that covered the whole nation. But after that took place, after the Supreme Court passed that legislation, I saw this mist begin to lift off America. And very quickly, some areas had no mist, some still had some, and then pretty soon it was all gone. Maybe a little here and there, but... And I said, God, what are we going to do? Because I knew that meant judgment was coming. I watched my own country in England turn its back on Israel and go into a post-Christian state. Now I'm watching this nation much quicker go the same direction. And I said, well, what is going to happen? And he said, don't be afraid. And then as I looked, I saw this mist in heaven begin to swirl. And as it swirled, it came down like, you remember the tongues of fire? You know, it came and separated. Well, this mist came and it separated on each person that were God's people. And he said, upon my people, I will place my blessing. And I will give them supernatural protection. Supernatural protection. Supernatural provision. My blessing will be upon them. And I will prosper them. Well, I thought, lovely, you know. But you have to understand what the word to prosper means. It means that no matter what we go through, whether how hard it might be, like, you know, you got the old disciples there in Lake Galilee, right? It's about 13 miles wide. They're in the middle of it. And, you know, Jesus is asleep in the boat there and the waves are coming in. It looks like the wretched thing's going to sink and they're losing their minds, you know. And they, don't you care? We're going to die. You know, well, I don't know. Just make sure you're awake. Well, that's what it would be, wouldn't it? You know, that's how it would be, probably, for most of us, if the truth is known. We might put a nice, oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus, we may be sinking. No, I don't. We're 13 miles out, 6.5 miles from shore. The wind's blowing, it's a great storm, and we're all going to die. Well, you know, it was a bit of a setback. Weren't it? I mean, they were with Jesus, and they had a setback. They had a bit of adversity. The winds were blowing against them. Everything was against them. They wondered if God was against them. He didn't seem to be doing much. You ever been in that place? I've been there. Hello, God, are you around?
Let go.
You heard about the guy who fell off the cliff, right? And there's a branch. And he hangs on the branch. He says, oh, God, help me, help me. And God says, I'm here. Help me, God, help me. He says, let go. The guy thinks, he said, is there anyone else up there? Okay. But anyway, sometimes we go through adversity, we go through setbacks. And yet in that, God prospers us. He has promised to prosper. So no matter how difficult the way, how hard the situation, how insane that thing is, how impossible the situation is, if we put our faith into the living God, what's impossible with man is what? Possible. Yeah, very good. Yeah, he did that well. Possible with God. And Jesus gets up, he rebukes the winds and the waves. And what happens? Boom! They get prospered. They're on the other side. What an experience! Kind of encourages you, doesn't it? Encourage me. A few weeks ago, maybe a few months actually, it's gone by so quick, maybe a few years, I don't know for sure, but a few months ago for sure, I was in my office working, and out of nowhere I felt the Holy Spirit, he seemed to speak the word out of me. I just got done praying, went in my office, and I heard the word propitious. What the heck? Where did that come from, you know? So I just ignored it. And I thought, what? And then again, the word propitious. Well, the third time the word was said propitious, a little bit loud, it's like there was an angel there saying, hello, propitious, I'm talking to you, and you know, wake up. But anyhow, I thought, propitious? What the blooming heck does propitious mean? And so the word seemed to reverberate my mind and my spirit, and it wouldn't go away. So I asked Christine, I have a good wife. I got to tell you before I go any further, she's such a blessing. This last year probably has been the best years of our life, last 18 months. It is such a joy. I've never felt so at peace, so blessed. I used to travel nonstop all over the world, and it took me a long time to kind of, you know, unwind, you know. But man, we've had such a... I just enjoy being with my wife. I just enjoy... She is the most selfless, loving, caring, giving. I continuously have to have altar calls. How'd you like to be married to someone like that? You know, you feel convicted. You know, I mean, I want to just punch somebody and she says, you know, we really love you. Let's... And I thought, oh God, not again. You know... Has nothing to do with my sermon, but I thought. But when you feel, you know, what do? You got to go with the flow, you know. And so I asked Christine if she ever heard of this word propitious, and she had neither. She never heard of it, so it was probably a greater mystery to her as it was to me. So I decided to look the word up and find out if even such a word even existed, and if it did, what in the world did it mean? Well, the Lord began to encourage me by His Spirit to make sure that we position ourselves. While this was going on, the Lord began to speak to me about positioning ourselves in such a way as to enable us to receive the full blessing of God and the full authority that comes from heaven. So I want you to position yourself to be under my blessing and under my authority. Well, I don't care. That's kind of cool. That's absolutely... I'm into that. And the process of events that then began to unfold is the very thing that I want to begin to share with you a little bit tonight, if that's okay with you. If it isn't okay with you, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. I'm just trying to make you feel good. Yeah. But anyway, the word propitious. So what does it mean? It literally means this: an event or an opportunity occurring at a favorable or at an opportune time. An event or an opportunity happening at an opportune time. A divine or miraculous intervention that releases God's blessing. Isn't it amazing how all the things I've been talking about are all related? A divine or miraculous intervention that releases God's blessing. It comes from a Latin word meaning favor or grace, or to show favor or to show grace. Literally, the word propitious means, listen to this, heaven sent. Heaven sent. Now, the word that the Lord began to download into my spirit is the rest of the things that I'm going to share now. So I want to speak tonight on a subject that I've called Under the Shadow of His Wings. You're singing about that tonight. And let me just say this. I thoroughly enjoy the praise and worship. And I'm tired of hearing worship where it's all entertainment, you know, and everybody comes out. I thought, it ain't a blooming concert, you know, for crying out loud. And so it's really nice to be in a place where there's musicians who really know how to play drums and guitar. You guys have really improved since I was here. Man, I have to put the cotton wool in or anything, man. You know, if you saw me before with, you know, those things, you know, we call them there, cotton swabs stuck in my ear. Well, I didn't have to have any of them this time. It's really, really good. Just kidding. It's always been good. But no, and I really felt God in the music. I really felt that. And again, this fits into, see, it's a people whose hearts are surrendered to Jesus, who are worshiping God, not to make, you know, not to show off how great they are to you, but have a genuine heart for God and are ushering us into the blessing of God. So I'd like to read a short scripture from the Living Translation, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Lord Jesus, I plead your blood over this gathering together of your people. We are here to hear, we are gathered together to hear your word preached and spoken. If you offend us, you have our permission. If you want to bring correction to us, you have our permission. If you want to reprove us or rebuke us or instruct us in the ways we should go, you have our permission. And we yield to your word this night, in Jesus' name, that you will fill us with the ultimate, the maximum blessing we can receive from heaven, so that we can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you will anoint our ears with the oil of anointing, with the oil of the Holy Ghost, that we will hear your words and not the devil's words. We plead your blood in our ears. We won't hear the voice of hell. We won't hear the lies and the doubts of the evil one, but we will hear your word, and your word will be blessed as it comes into our spirit and changes us to receive more from you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Good for you, Lily. I heard that. I think that was Lily.
So,
oh, what's your name?
Cassie.
Oh, I heard that, Cassie. Good. Amen. Now, I want you to also take a look at Revelations chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "All glory to him who loves us." You could stop right there, couldn't you? Isn't that lovely that God loves us?
Amen.
I look around, I thought, holy cow, you love these guys? You've got to be joking. Then you look in the mirror and think, oh, no. No, that's, it says, "All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us." And then it says this in verse 6. "He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever." How many people here is a priest? How many people don't know what you are? Take his name. Well, the Bible says that all of us who've received Jesus our Savior are priests of the Most High God. That's what the Word of God tells us. Now, Jesus has come along, and he's coming down, and the picture is that John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River. And he looks and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." Well, they knew what a lamb was for. That a lamb was going to be the sacrifice for a person's sin. And they were mystified. The Lamb of God who comes to take the sins of men? This could be the Lamb once and for all? But here comes Jesus to John the Baptist, and he says, "I want to get baptized." He says, "Oh man, I'm not worthy to this." He says, "I need to be baptized." Why? Because he's our example. He's not going to ask us to do anything that he's not going to do. He's our example. How many people believe that Jesus is our example?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And so they go down into the water to be baptized. And when Jesus comes out of the waters of the Jordan River, what happens? Well, we read over here a few minutes ago, it says, "And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove." So here come this dove coming down from heaven. Do that again. That's the most... Okay. Thank you. In Revelations 5:10, it says, "And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." So now we know that we are priests, right? A kingdom of priests for our God, and that we are, that God's intention for us is to what? Reign on the earth. To be in authority on the earth. So not only are we a kingdom of priests for our God, but we will reign together with Him. And so if Jesus is our teacher and our example to follow, then it tells me that we can be the same and do the same as He did as His ambassadors, His representatives. So we read in 2 Corinthians 5:20, forgive me, I'm just laying a little foundation here before I take off. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." And so here's a man. He's a Paul. He says, "We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." So there's something about the blessing of God and being a priest. There's something going on here that when we receive it, it changes us and it causes us to be His representatives. And the Bible says, "Thy will be done, Thy kingdom. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So some time ago, I was contemplating all of these things. And I had a picture come flooding into my mind, into my imagination then, of Jesus standing in the Jordan River, and after being baptized by John the Baptist, when all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit then descended upon Him in the form of a dove. John 1, verse 32. Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven, resting upon Him." Now, it's very important that I'm saying this from two different scriptures, that you get this. Now, the dove in the Middle East is the only bird whose wingtips point to the head and rather than the tail. So it comes down like this. Okay? And as the dove descended, the amazing thing is, as that dove came down, it looked like the Jewish letter Kaf, K-A-F. Now we know that every Hebrew letter has a number associated with it, and every number has a Hebrew letter. And they have a picture form, which we're going to look into in a few seconds, a picture graph. When I lived in Hong Kong, we used to travel all over China, and the Chinese culture is one of the longest cultures that have been around, and their language is nothing more than hieroglyphics. It's really just pictures. And they were written from the first 26 chapters of Genesis. So the Chinese language came from the first 26 chapters of Genesis, and that's what the pictures tell a story about. So if a king was going to be anointed king, then they would pour this anointing oil all around the king's head. So he's going to be king, you pour the oil out, it goes all around here, it just pours down. But if you were going to be anointed to be a priest, you would only anoint the front part of the head. So, as this dove comes down from heaven, it forms the letter Kav. Keith, could you come a second? So, if this is the letter Kav, if it went like this, what it does, it goes from here, your thumbs to here, your fingers to the side of the head. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it represents the anointing oil that God was saying that this is now your high priest. Now, there may be the high priest there in Jerusalem, but now my son is the high priest. Listen to him. I am well pleased with him. Okay. So they pour the anointing oil from one ear to the front of the priest's head and then to the other ear, making what appears to be a half circle, which is, again, the picture of a Hebrew letter calf. So what God is saying, that Jesus was now anointed to be the high priest, and of course, rather than the high priest in the temple. Now, literally, calf, listen now, calf, the letter calf, and I may be pronouncing it wrong, so forgive me. Literally, kaf is the power of the spiritual to be made actual in the physical. So those things that are true in the spiritual realm of God's kingdom can now be actualized in the physical realm through the power of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God was saying, when a dove came down in the form of the letter calf and anointed Jesus, the front part of his head, that he was not only the priest of God, but he was now to bring forth that which was true in the spiritual realm to be actualized in the physical realm. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And immediately after that, he goes into the wilderness and he fights the devil. Wasted by the devil for 40 days. And then after that, signs and wonders and miracles begin to come. Raise your hand if you're a priest. Oh, a few more hands went up this time. Now, the actual meaning of the letter kaf means, the pictogram of the letter kaf is the palm of a hand. And it represents two meanings. Firstly, it represents submission. And if a palm was placed on a person's head, it meant that person was in submission to the individual who had their palm on their head. I'll give you an illustration. I was in New Zealand, and I was actually in Auckland, which is called the City of Sails. And I was preaching there, and there were these Maoris there, the tribal people who are actually related to the Filipinos, that part of the Malayan tribe. And so this lady said, would you pray for my husband? He's a tribal chief. And he has cancer and he has a growth in his lungs and it's growing out of his body and he's going to die. Okay? So I said, yeah, bring him along. I'd be glad to do it. And so his son was also in training to be a chief with a witch doctor, wherever the heck they are. So the next day, he came. They brought him along. He's been in hospital. They let him go because there was no hope for him. And so he comes up, and I said, let me pray for you. So when he came, this is what I did. I said, I'm just going to lay hands on you. And as I went to lay my hands like this on his forehead, man, he run back. He got his fist like this to hit me. But before he could, it's like somebody picked him up and threw him from the air and he landed flat on his back. To a Maori, I found out later, especially to a chief, if you lay your hand on their head, it means that you have conquered them and that you are in submission to them. And if you're a Maori chief, you're not submitting to anybody. He would go out with they'd make these big canoes. They would have 200 men on them, and they have the dragon at the front of it and dragon's tail. And they would go out into the ocean, and they would keep going, and the chief would be there, and there'd be a guy playing the drums, and they'd be running the oars. And they would keep going out through the waves until that boat came to life. And when the boat became a living animal or a living dragon, then they would turn around and come back in again. A lot of witchcraft there. But when that man fell and he got up, he was shaking. And I found out what happened. I said, look, it's not me. You need to put yourself under God's authority. You need to submit yourself under his authority. And if you'll do that, he'll heal you, he'll help you, he'll save you, he'll change you. Well, he gave his life to Jesus. Amen. It's one thing to give your life to Jesus. It's another thing to stay under the blessing. Because if you're going to be a believer, a real believer, I'm sick to death of faith. You know, when I was in China, I used to preach all over China. I used to with pastors in the Three South Church. They were angry if they didn't feel offended. At the end of our meetings, we'd preach under the anointing. They had to mop the floors up for all the tears. There were puddles of tears on the floor. My wife will tell you. When I came back to America, I was shocked at the condition of the American church. Now, thank God things are changing. There's a separating going on. People get so offended, you look at them wrong, you know. I'm out of here, how dare you? Get a life. Because if you don't change, you ain't going to have any life. You're going to have death.
Right, right, right.
Jesus is coming back.
Right.
Put yourself under His blessing.
Right, yeah.
Under His protection. Under His provision. And let Him prosper you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to be. We have chosen life rather than death. We're willing now to lay our lives down for His sake so that we can have life and life forevermore. He hasn't called us to be a bunch of whitewashed sepulchres walking around with Bibles full of dead man's bones, singing a lot of songs. Who cares about that nonsense? He wants the song written in your heart, in your life. That's where it needs to be. Amen? Is it always easy? No. Is it going to cost you something? Absolutely. And it needs to cost you something. Well, I could take off on a tangent, but I've got to stop here. The palm of the hand is the direction of God's blessing. God's authority. God's power. The Jewish people bless their children by holding both of the palms of their hands so they face their children. In the same way, God is envisioned as having His palms facing over His people. This suggests the calling forth of the power of the Holy Spirit within to be made manifest in the physical world. In the mornings, the blessing of God is recited with both palms together as an act of soliciting the power of God to be made manifest in our daily lives. God says, do you want the blessing of God on your life? Do you want the anointing of God on your life? Do you want God's authority in your life? Do you want to be prospered in your life? Do you want to be used by me, says God? Then place yourself under my blessing. The placing of the palm of the hand on another is an act and sign of submission or conquest, similar to the act of bowing before a king. When a person places themselves in full submission to the king, they literally enter into a state of supplication and prayer to the king so he can literally reveal his will and his revelation. God has revelation for us for the days we are living in. I'll be talking a little bit about this tomorrow or Sunday morning, about how to receive God's revelation. We need the revelation of God today. There are things going on. We don't know what's going on. The whole world's gone upside down, if you ask me. Rights become wrong. Wrongs become right. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. We need God's revelation. We need His revelation. In a Jewish commentary I came across, it says, calf is also the root word of the word kippah, meaning cap or skull cap. You know, the Jewish people wear a skull cap on their head. Remember, God created and formed Adam with the palms of His hands. In like manner, the presence of God's palms over our head signifies, they say, God's ongoing creation and formation of each of our lives as we submit to the living God. And of course, this is represented by the skull cap worn by the Jewish males. That's saying we are literally under God's authority. His blessing is upon us. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we will come out on top. God will prosper us. You can look at the history of the Jewish people. My goodness, the things they've endured. But they're still worshiping God. They still, most of them have a, you can see it in their eyes. There's something different. There's something there that's awesome. Is the propitiousness of God, the prosperity of God, the heaven-sent favor, heaven-sent blessing. In like manner, the presence of God's palms over our head signifies God's ongoing creation, and formation of each of our lives as we submit to living God. So here we are tonight. We're sitting here worshiping God. I'm getting into it. I thought, man, these guys are getting good musicians. Man, Bruce. So, whoa. Keith. I said, man, the guy's got a voice. Chuck playing the drums, the lady on the flute. I said, whoa, the girl's singing. I said, man, I'm into this. All of a sudden, I found my foot. I said, uh-oh, here we go. But what I felt was this. That wasn't just entertainment. That was true worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we were to be in position. And I just want to say this. As that was happening, there was some of you guys began to open your heart to the Lord in such a way that you hadn't opened it before. And as you did that, and as you yielded to God, a work was being done inside of you. A work of God was going on in you. Because it wasn't entertainment. It's ushering the presence of God in and calling us to position ourselves under the blessing of God. And so, here's Jesus. The dove comes upon him, and it says, that which is true in the spiritual realm is going to be made true in the physical realm. But it has to firstly be true here. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to have a few scars? Because the pupil's not greater than the teacher. The servant's not greater than the master. And he had wounds in his hands, his feet, and side, and his head. Betrayal. Denied. Abandoned. Despised. Ridiculed and mocked. God's looking for some people who are His. And He's separating the sheep from the goats. And I can feel in this room there are sheep here. Not goats, but sheep. Oh, it's been tough to see the goats being taken out. Because they look so good. They seem so good. But they were always butting. Jordan was the place where they would raise goats to be sacrificed. The scapegoat. And it's an amazing thing, you know, in Jordan there were these flocks of goats and the sheep would be mixed in with them, you know, they're pretty similar. But sometimes, when they began to slaughter the sheep, they began to sacrifice the sheep, there was always a lot of anointing oil that was poured upon them. And so, the smell of anointing oil will begin to rise up. And the Bible tells us that we're to be what? A fragrant smell? That only happened as the sheep were being laid on the altar. Laid on the altar. And that anointing oil will begin to fill the whole temple area. And if it was just right, that smell of the anointing oil will begin to rise up and flow outside the gates of the temple, begin to flow down the mountain, begin to flow down towards Jordan. Now, maybe you and I couldn't smell it, but when the goats would smell that anointing oil, you know what would happen? They'd get upset. They'd start going crazy. Ah! The sheep didn't care. They thought, woo, man. What am I saying? That if you're a goat, when the anointing, the more the anointing begins to move, the more you get upset. And all you can see is the negative, and all you can see is the bad. You need to repent. Become a sheep. God's doing a work in us. We're His priests. The Spirit of God's descending upon us. As we gather together, we hear the praise and the worship, as we hear the Word preached, as we're at home with our families, as we're at work, no matter what we're doing, as we're reading the Word, as we're in prayer, and going about everyday life. The Lord said, are you open to me? But that guy cut me off just now as I'm driving down the freeway. As bringing it back to reality from... Are you going to curse them or bless them? Both. We're going to bless them, although we've probably done both. We need God's blessing. I go to Costco. I really enjoy going to Costco. I don't know what it is, I just like it. But I've actually become a missionary to Costco. I've become a Costco missionary. Well, you got to, you know, it's true. I've become a Costco missionary, my wife will tell you. This is when we go to Costco. This is my wife thinking, oh, yeah, I got to get fruit and vegetables, and we're getting low on this and getting low on that. I walk in, the first thing I meet is the greeter, right? He says, hey, Chris, how are you? I said, oh, man, oh, let me give you a hug. Thanks for praying for me, man. My family and my wife, you just never know. You can't believe what happened. Well, it takes me half an hour to get past the greeter. It's the grace of God he hasn't gotten fired. We forgot we were in Costco. And so I leave from there and we come to the Verizon booth. And as I get this right, the guy says, hey, Pastor Chris, God bless you. Oh, man, how you doing? I said, good, how are you? Oh, man, since... Let me tell you what happened at the Verizon booth. A few months ago, I started talking to him about the things of God. He said, well, my grandma's a Christian. I said, well, she's been praying for you. All right? So I began to share, and the anointing came upon me. As it happened, people started coming. I thought, oh, crap, you know, what am I going to do here? There was a crowd of people. On my left side was a Muslim. On my right side was a lady from a cult. I thought, oh, God, I hope they don't drag me out and stone me. Yeah. But I couldn't help it. You know, I just raised my voice. So you guys need to repent. The kingdom of God is near. Why? Because I know the power in the spiritual realm and the authority in the spiritual realm. As I give my life to Jesus Christ totally and completely, it will be actualized not only in me, but wherever I am. Oh, it changed, baby. It got electrified. There were so many people coming. So I just turned and I felt God speak to me about this guy. And I said, give me your hand. Give me your hand. Okay. No, my hand. Give me my God. Okay. I said, give me your hand, Miles. I said, you know, where do you want to go? Heaven or hell?
Heaven.
You're a good man. He said, that's what he said, heaven. I said, well, then this is what you need to do. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. I don't know how. I said, but I do. And so I prayed loudly. We prayed together, and he repeated after me, and a few other folks there as well. Right? Miles gets saved. So this is how I go to Costco. This is my experience. And as I'm walking around, God will speak to me. Is this right, Mom? Am I making this up? Am I making this up? Oh, okay. And so sometimes I'm walking around, God will speak to me. He says, you need to go speak to that person over there. They're going through a divorce. I'm in Costco. Amen. So I go up and I start speaking with them, or I share with them, and I'm not going to embarrass them. I say, hey, how you doing? And that's what I do. My whole time in Costco until my wife calls and says, you need to leave. I'm just full of, I'm ready to, man, I'm having a Holy Ghost revival, man. I get to the checkout counter, the guy that's, oh, Pastor Chris, oh, man, I tell you, God's helped me, hallelujah. Because we pray together every time I go through there, we speak words of encouragement. And the other checkers, they don't know what to say. You're going to throw me out? Anyhow, What I'm saying is that you need to believe who you are. You need to know who you are. And you need to believe what the Word of God says. And you need to take that which is true in the spiritual and let it be made manifest in your life so you quit stealing, quit lying, quit fabricating, start treating people right, start forgiving people because there's power in forgiveness. And you let the power of God fill you as the priest of the Most High. You let the blessing of God fill you. And when some little guy comes along and flatters his eye and flexes his muscles, you just look and say, man, get a life. It's wrong. You need to repent. Don't you lust after me, I'll slap you. I'm a woman of God. I'm a treasure of heaven. I'm a priest of the Most High. How dare you? When this little girl comes along, some of you young guys, and and the devil says, come on now. This is it. It's happening now, man. It's on. Oh, you better not. It's the wrong time, the wrong place. Make sure you don't in a few years as well. Okay. You want to look and say, man, you know what? Jesus changed my life. I got washed in the blood of the Lamb. I used to run after women like you, you know, because it was kind of... Anyway, I used to run after women like you, but now I'm saved. I've been washed in the blood, and my life is different, and yours can be different as well.
Amen.
Your life can be different. Do you want me to pray with you? When I was first saved, that happened to me. I was in the U.S. Air Force, and one of my friends was in the RAF, invited me to his house, and they had a big party. And this woman came up to me and says, hey, spend the night with me if you want. And part of me said, I was just saying, I said, son of a gun. It's like the devil and the, you know. And there's this battle going on. And I looked at her, and I said, you know what? I received Jesus as my Savior a few months ago. He's changed my life. I have something that satisfies not just for a few minutes or a few days. It satisfies for eternity, and you can have it as well.
Amen.
She got up and left.
Amen.
Amen. You done right. See, we need to be a people of God today. What are you a person of light or a person of darkness? What are you? What are you? The devil doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to be bound. There was these people in the occult. Luciferians. Satanists. And they said, this is what they said. You Christians are in a prison. In the Garden of Eden, because the word God means enclosure, right? You're in a prison, and you aren't allowed to experience all the great things we're allowed to experience. I'm getting into my next sermon, but I've got a little taste. So you don't know what you're missing out on. I said, let me tell you something. You're right. Adam and Eve were in a prison, and so am I, and so are you. But the prison I'm in is a prison of light. It's a prison of destiny. It's a prison of hope. It's a prison of joy. It's a prison of life. It's a prison of power. It's a prison of prohibitiousness. But the prison you're in is a prison of death and of suffering and a place where in the end nothing works out for you. It all comes down. It looks good for a while, but it just ends in chaos and heartache and brokenness. You keep smoking that dope, I'm telling you, your lungs are going to shrivel up and die. You keep snorting cocaine, you are a prisoner to a spirit of hell. But marijuana is legal. Do you want real life or you want false life? I don't care if it's legal or not. This is what God says. He's looking for a people who are His own, a people who are going to leave this planet in a blaze of glory. Don't be a bunch of wimps. Stand up for God. Believe God. Holy cow. But I smelt the smell and that aroma. It drew me in and seduced me. Are you kidding me? The Bible says we have authority over the plants and the trees. You wimp. A plant has just beat the tar out of you and taken you prisoner and robbed you of destiny. Slap that thing down. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get carried away. Be free. Live for God. Be free. And then share this freedom with others. We're called to pray for the sick. We're called to believe God for miracles. One guy said, well, what happens if nothing happens? I said, well, what happens if something does happen? The Bible didn't tell us, oh, is he going to get healed right away? What am I going to do? He just said, lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick. And pray for them to get better. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the prayers of the righteous avail much. And so if we're living for God and we're doing what's right, let me tell you, loosen this baby. I prayed for this friend of mine. I was doing a revival, doing a meeting in Gallup, New Mexico. And this assistant pastor was there. We're having lots of miracles. We even had a blind guy get healed. He said, I want that. And I looked at him and I felt the Holy Ghost. And I looked at him, but it wasn't me. It was like Jesus. And I said, come on up here. And there was like a lightning bolt hit him. Threw him across the room and landed on his back as well. He was out cold. When he got up, he had a miracle healing ministry. And he prayed for a guy who had his foot cut off. And his foot started to grow back. When the Bible says the maimed shall be restored, it's talking about people with no arms, no legs, no fingers. They will grow back. Now, I want to see that. Well, what happens if nothing happens? Who cares? What happens if something does happen? I was preaching in Zimbabwe in a tent crusade. Standing behind me was someone with elephantitis. Their leg was about, I don't know how big it was pretty big. Of course, evangelically speaking, it was like this. He brought him in on a train, by God. But it was big. And while I'm preaching, the ground began to move, literally began to move under my feet. There was no reports of an earthquake, but the ground was moving. Man, the Spirit of God came into that place. These were, for the most part, unsaved men who were there. People started coming from everywhere. They rolled the signs of the tent up. They started dancing as only Africans dance, you know. But as all this is going on, people's mouths start opening. This guy's leg shrunk. God can do anything. I get sick sometimes. You ever get sick and tired? If I get sick and I got a pain, I tell my wife, hey, Mom, can you pray for me? She just reaches over, prays for me. Bam, I'm well. When I get sick and tired, she rebukes me. Gives me a swift kick in the old, you know where. We're called to be God's priests. We're called to allow the impossible to happen within us, to change us, not to be seduced by the things of this world. They say the Luciferians are now saying there's been a transition from darkness to light. And so it's a false light. But I want to tell you, if given the false or the real, I want the real. And people are looking for the real. They're looking for the genuine believers. Amen. Not those who act like it and don't live it. And I count it a privilege tonight to be here. I really do. I appreciate being here because you know what? I feel like something has been unlocked in your heart. You're a priest of God. And the Spirit of God has come down upon you. And that which is true in the spiritual is now being actualized into the physical. And it's being actualized inside of you as well. Let it continue. All Rome wasn't built overnight. I understand that. But we're making good progress. And I'm just dumb enough to believe what God's Word says. You know, I'm just kind of dumb.